Hello and welcome to an international edition of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB and of course on our podcast. I'm AD Packham and we are in your ears with the awesome assistance of OldFoolShirts.com. Well, last Saturday's stalemate at Cardiff saw to it that we didn't take top spot going into last night's game with Leeds, but take top spot we did, at least for a few hours after last night's win. Also this week, the under-21 side made it through to the next round of the Checkatrade Trophy, and our friends at Sky have deprived us of yet another Saturday fixture, with February's home game at Reading now moved to a Friday night. The club this week have announced that their accounts for 2015 to 2016 season shows a loss of £25.8 million. That's quite eye-watering. And it's no great surprise, but Albion legend Bobby Zamora has announced his retirement from the game. Joining me today is, of course, Alan Wares, and we are delighted to welcome two guys for whom the fixture changes are a massive inconvenience. It's the author of the magazine and website, Werner Schröer, and Lido Schufflus Braun. Yeah. Did I say that right, Lido?
Almost. Lido Schufflus Braun.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Willkommen. No, hang on, that's German, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really German.
Yeah, German? Yeah.
That's quite offensive.
Okay. Willkommen in England.
Welcome to the show, guys. It's a pleasure to have you back in here again. I mean, look, Werner, you've been in here before. But what we want to know, I mean, you were just a passing guest last time. So tell us about yourselves. How did you become a Brighton fan? You live in Holland.
Yeah, I really don't know. Starting to follow Brighton when I was a really young kid, and I think the first English word I ever learned was Brighton. My parents don't really like football. So
did your parents tell you what that meant?
Probably not. If they knew in advance, they would have tried to learn me other words. But I was really young, and I really don't know how it started. I get the question quite often, but I really no idea.
But I mean, when you came in here last time, you told us this absolutely brilliant story, which we have most of us and people who are listening in stitches. But can you just tell us about you trying to take pictures of the Goldstone again?
Yeah, well, the first thing which I did when I got my driver license was going to England by boat and taking a car to Brighton. So we drove around for like 2 or 3 hours without a map, so searching for the stadium. We finally found a stadium, and I took a lot of pictures of it. And a few years later, when I went to my first game, it ended up that I took pictures of the Greyhound Stadium instead of the stadium.
Close enough. I mean, you take two looks now, and who would know any better?
Indeed, yeah.
You just assume that. That's a mind-boggler, isn't it? I mean, I suppose if you didn't know, but did no one actually tell you that the Goldstone Ground had actually been knocked down? Is the Greyhound Stadium in really that bad a condition that it looked like an ex-knocked-down football stadium?
To be honest, I didn't know the Goldstone Ground was knocked down back then. There was no internet, so I bought a shoot magazine once every few weeks, but of course nothing about Goldstone Ground.
But of course, and I mean, we first found out about you a few years ago when we found out that myself and Al were absolutely delighted. We've got a follower who listens to our show in Holland. But your Twitter name is Beardsley NL. So, but your first hero is Peter Beardsley.
Beardsley. Yeah.
Okay, why is that?
That's the same question with Brighton. I don't really know, but well, I
is
like
because you look like him.
Yeah, probably.
You're the same
height,
or
I'm glad that there is no recording of this on TV. It's good. It's a radio show. So no, I like technical players. Well, Peter Beardsley didn't really get the recognition he deserved, I think. And in Holland, hardly anyone knows him. Only the people who really follow English football, they know Paul Gascoigne, but they don't know. Well, they know Gary Lineker, but they don't know many of the assists given to Lineker were by Peter Beardsley, so a really good player.
But Lido, welcome to the show as well. Now, obviously, did you first get into Brighton because of Werner?
He took me to his one and only love, and I tried to take it away a little bit because I really loved it from the first moment I came here, and so it was love at first sight. So.
So I mean, so your when did your Albion story actually start?
I think it was 8 or 9 years ago. So Werner travelled a lot, but he didn't want to travel alone. So he asked me to come with him, and we went here, and it was raining, and dark. And
it's England. What do you expect?
Yeah,
but Holland's not much different, to be honest.
It's always sunny in Holland.
Always sunny in Holland. Yeah. So we went there and we walked to the stadium underneath the bridge through. And we went there and I saw the stadium and it wasn't really a stadium at all. It was just a few.
This was with Dame, presumably.
Yeah. So it was just a few stands and. But I liked it immediately. It was like really good, and there was a great game and a lot of really nice people. And
do you remember the opponents?
No, I don't think I now remember. I think they were playing in red, but there are a lot of clubs playing in red, so it could be everything.
So you watched the Albion for the first time. It was raining, so therefore you got soaked.
Yeah.
And
there's no roof.
No roof, and you still came back.
Yeah, I came back a lot, and I started following everything, and I started learning from the Dutch Seagulls master. Every time I hear another story, I keep falling in love more with the club and with the people and the history. So, yeah.
But of course, you do follow a side in Holland as well, which is Vitesse Arnhem.
Vitesse, yeah. Vitesse. They've got a lot of another history, but. Yeah.
But I understand that your stadium's about to get broken.
Stadium?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Jamie van der Westhuizen, he's going over to Holland.
Oh, is he?
And to a Vitesse game.
Well, I think it's fair that actually Arnhem, the town of Arnhem, has actually therefore been sort of pre-warned. I've actually been to their ground in 2000 to watch probably one of the worst games of football. And I think Andy Bass, our good friend who's on the show, he was at the same game, but this is way before I knew him. It was Slovenia against Norway in Euro 2000, and refereed by Graham Poll. It was a stinker. Apart from that, I think it rained in Arnhem as well that day. So, yeah, happy memories. Well, weirdly enough, I never went back.
Well, speaking of a stinker, that's a nice segue into last Saturday's game then, which was at Cardiff. And
I thought you were talking about how it is in this hot studio.
I'm not hot, so the last week it was a game where nothing really happened. But as predicted by me on the show last week, Anthony Knockar did drop to the bench. And with Jurriš Galak coming back in for him. I mean, like I said, it was a game where nothing really happened. I mean, we had the opportunity to go top of the table, but we didn't take it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, I think the whole, the way that we actually look at it in a kind of a philosophical way is we went at home, we draw away. I mean, we're not the most exciting team on the road, looking at the stats, scored 8. Conceded 5. If you want excitement of watching Albion on the road, just make sure it's not this season at the moment. We ground it. What you've got is you've got a lot of teams are in trouble, and especially those near the bottom, and we're finding it a little bit more and more. I think they've realised that actually we're pulling away of third place. I think everyone now is going to consider us, even if we don't ourselves, consider ourselves serious promotion contenders. We're keeping pace with Newcastle. Well, at the moment, we're ahead of Newcastle. And I think that some teams are actually adopting a certain philosophy of playing against us. And I think Cardiff, Aston Villa, who've started the season so poorly and are being turned around by Steve Bruce, they did exactly the same, did a very good job. Neil Warnock's no mug. He's going to do a good job at Cardiff. It's... We have to learn. If we're going to be excited by what the Albion are doing, yes, we know we've got a very good defence and we're very, very difficult to break down. I think there are times when we've got to be a little bit more imaginative when we do have the ball. And when we don't, it can actually sort of strike for a bit of a game.
Yeah, well, I mean, one amazing stat that we tweeted out last night was that we've now... Glenn Murray has now scored more goals for us this season than we've actually conceded. That's an amazing stat, Werner.
He even scored more goals than an entire Crystal Palace squad. So, brilliant.
I love the fact that our visiting Dutch friend, can actually just mention swear on air like that with such a lovely stat. Absolutely. No, we're all saying that, you know, we've got a very, very good defence, and it's led by someone who's just had an outstanding 2016 for me, and that's Lewis Dunk. Who so far this season just has not put a foot wrong. We haven't had the whoopsies and the dropsies that we had last year. We haven't had him playing with the red mist. I've said this before. He has been absolutely astonishingly good. Premier League quality. I mean, we're not going to see what he's like until he makes that step up, but I don't think it's such a massive gear grind for him to do that. You've got Shane Duffy, who is not bad. He's certainly not the player he was, you know, playing back at, you know, the Basket Case Club that is Blackburn. Bruno fit as a butcher's dog. Pocaniello, we'll talk about him a bit. You know, he fitted in quite handsomely last night. We've got a very, very good defence. And we're, all I would say is that when we do have the ball, we're huffing and puffing a little bit against teams that are not exactly parking the bus, but I think we've just got to have that little bit more flair. It's the individual decision making at a given time. That and actually having disallowed goals unfairly is another matter entirely.
Well, I mean, we're not going to dwell too much on the Cardiff game, but there was a few key incidents in that game which we can talk about. One of them, it was a missed chance by Cardiff and a goal that was disallowed for us, which the missed chance was basically you had Sol Bamba, who
Colin Watsit also about to say is anagram name there, believes is the best defender in the championship. Obviously hadn't been doing his homework on us then.
Yeah. Well, Sol Bamba, he went over the top of Shane Duffy from a cross, and he put the opportunity just narrowly wide into the side netting. The ref didn't blow up. The same thing happened at the other end where the cross came in. Shane Duffy won the header by you could argue it was a foul, but it was identical to the way that Bamba went.
Was it Murray?
No, it was Duffy.
All right,
and he went over the back of Bamba trying to. And he's a big unit. It takes a lot to knock him over. He won the header that Murray eventually put in the back of the net. We asked for consistency.
It's irritating, but you know, if you're going to try and compare exactly like with like, yes, they're similar circumstances, similar situations.
Identical.
Yeah, but you can't say that one is the precedent for the other. I mean, you can't actually say they're absolutely identical. It's the extent to which someone's leaning on someone. It's, you know, okay, Sol Bamba did exactly the same to Duffy as Duffy. Well, no, it doesn't quite work like that. Yes, it's infuriating. Yes, it's irritating. And maybe just Duffy's considered a big old unit.
The infuriating thing about it is if Bamba's header had gone in, the goal would have stood.
Sure.
No, I'll take our goal didn't stand.
Yeah, I'll take
although to be fair to it, to be fair to the referee, he did blow before the ball went in the back of the net. So it was
clearly for what he felt was a foul. I mean, it might have been stuff that, because there's a lot of things as well where you actually look at, certainly when you look at it live, you're watching the ball and you don't actually see the argy-bargy actually while the weight went for the ball to arrive at the given defender or attacker. Yeah, I mean, I think the consistency is that these things are inconsistent. It's when they're ridiculously, you know, maddeningly so. Hashtag Joey Barton.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, were you at that game against Burnley last season?
No. I've seen it. It was on live television in Holland. My neighbours, I was just moved to Deventer, and my neighbours, it was the first time they heard me scream and Lido screaming. What was he thinking?
Presumably you can't repeat such language. You can, because
you can do it in Dutch, but I think I used English words at that moment.
Are we talking Anglo-Saxon words?
Probably,
that's something, actually. I remember seeing, I don't know, some clip of, I think, a French TV. It's one of those it'll be all right on the night things. And when it goes wrong, they're talking in French. They're talking in Welsh, whatever it is. And when it goes wrong, they swear in English. I mean, is it just the English don't swear, but is just English swearing just a lot more creative?
No, it isn't.
No, it really isn't. Because of the movies, I think. Yeah. Because you're ill a lot.
I'm not saying that we went to the pub last night, Al, but we may have been in had a few festive beverages. Just for a change.
I have no recollection.
No, well, yeah, I know, because you weren't with us at all, were you, Al?
No, not at all.
But we were talking about Anglo-Saxon language, and the Dutch do have various different expressions. You know how
how do they translate? Okay, the cleaner versions. How does Dutch swearing translate? Try and do a like for like.
Well, I think the words we use in Dutch are the same words in English. So we use a certain C word a lot.
Right.
I think that's used really often.
No,
Coldplay.
Coldplay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I don't really like Coldplay much.
Okay.
We
Crystal.
We use the F word a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Crystal. Nothing related to Crystal.
Family show.
Okay, let's stop talking about swearing.
I mean, it's like Eskimos have 40 different words for snow.
Yeah, which apparently is a myth. But anyway, carry on. So
the other key point of the game, obviously, it ended up 0-0, but we ended up with 10 men.
Bong just fancied a rest, didn't he?
Well, he's infuriating Gaetan Bong at the moment. He got himself back into form, and he was brilliant. And then his form dropped again. And then he got a break last night.
What he's tended to do, and I think actually, I mean, the whole team, I think, has been guilty of it, except last night. And again, we'll talk about that in a bit. Is that we tend to start the games for sort of, you know, first 10, 15 minutes, start them a bit slowly. And Bong is certainly one of those that does that. He starts off like Bambi on ice. I mean, he then gets into the game, and he'll have either Murphy or Skalak ahead of him. But he does look so unsure. It's as if he's making his debut every single time. Once he gets into the game, he's a lot better. And second half, it's as if someone's actually just poked him up the jacksie and said, right, come on, play properly. And he does. It's just that, you know, first 10, 15 minutes, you know, you scream at him to get in the game. If a right winger knew how Bong started a game, he'd have so much fun for the first 10, 15 minutes. So, you know.
But it was a silly sending off. I mean, it was for two yellows. But I mean, the tackle that he got the second yellow for, he already knew he was on a yellow, and I don't know why he made that tackle.
Was that a red miss jobby, do you think?
No, not really. It didn't even really. I mean, one thing that he's very, very good at is shepherding a player.
Mm.
And that's all he had to do, but he dived in.
He did have a little bit of a reputation of giving away sort of silly penalties. Not say reputation, but he had been doing it once or twice. So sometimes he can be a bit sort of thoughtlessly clumsy. Mm. So listen, I've got no problem with Gautam Bong playing.
He's fantastic.
He's a good player. There's no problem with him. I mean, you know, as left backs in the Amex era, I'm still going with Wayne Bridge. But you know, he certainly does the job. And who knows what goes through their mind at any given point.
Okay. It's funny you should say that. I mean, I'm going to go completely off topic now, but I was thinking about this last night. I was watching.
Thinking last night?
Wow. I know. But I was watching Bruno last night, and I don't think we've ever had a better right back than Bruno.
I'm struggling to think of another. Well, in terms of flair, skill, quality, leadership, absolutely. All I'd say in terms of delivery, I'd point in the direction of Paul Watson. But apart from that, yeah, it's. I mean, people might talk about Gary Chivers, maybe, or Chris Catlin.
Stevens played right back for a bit.
Gary Stevens or Chris Catlin, and Chris Catlin, you know, just failed to make it to the 1970 World Cup squad. We had a decent player in him, and people can go back to the days of a given right back. But in terms of a right back actually bringing people to their feet, then Bruno is the master by quite a difference.
We're going to put it out there. I mean, respond to us on our Facebook page and on Twitter.
At Albion Raw, is Bruno the best right back you've ever seen?
At
the Albion. And what's more, let us know how far back your Albion supporting days go, so we know we can compare and contrast as to whether absolutely. you know.
Okay, just before we move on from Cardiff, there was another incident which was silly, which was another booking for Lewis Dunk. I mean, you said how he hasn't put a foot wrong this year, but we're going to lose him for two games soon because he will get to 10 bookings very quickly.
He will get to 10 bookings. I mean, it's just the nature of someone who's going to be in the thick of it. One of the reasons why he's playing so well is because he's in the middle of so much action. And, you know, the bar for being booked these days is so much lower than once it was.
It was pretty much Descent that he got booked for, though. So, I mean,
well, Descent is actually infuriating, and there was a lot of that earlier in the season. And I think Dale Stevens, and I think Gaten Bong again, got booked for mouthing off. And they all had to, I think they got their sort of kind of, a mouthing off from Chris Hughton to say, you know, pack it in. No, those ones are irritating. Any manager will say, you know, you can understand or you can appreciate a player getting booked when they're being combative and trying to win the ball, but for mouthing off back to the ref, utterly idiotic.
I think it's a linesman or something. I'm not entirely sure what the incident was.
Some self-important git who's been told that he can officiate the game in a manner that he sees fit.
Well, I couldn't make it to the game last week, but Baron Apsonall said, "Oh, that's just ridiculous, referee." That was terrible.
I mean, when we're going to have Warren and Johnny in the studio sometime in the new year, I hope we can play that piece of footage back to him there and say.
You won't be able to tell the difference.
Warren, do you realise that was you? Yeah. No, it wasn't, was it?
No, it wasn't at all. I make no apologies. None. Okay, well, let's move on from that. I mean, we didn't take the opportunity to go top, but we stayed second, but only 2 points behind Newcastle, it was a very strange game there last Friday. I mean, there was similar to ours last night, actually.
A couple of red cards, though, wasn't there, which actually both ended up getting rescinded. I mean, they were ridiculous. I mean, the referee just had an absolute stinker, but hey, it suited us. I mean, we could sit there and moan about, you talk about inconsistency, we could sit there and moan about a referee, but there are times when you think, do you know what, lady luck is is beaming her bosoms at us, and we've got to take that.
Well, I mean, we'll come back and talk about last night's game shortly, but I mean there's some very similar things to last season where we no one's talking about Brighton, Werner. We're sitting, well, we're currently in top spot, but the alarm's just going off in the market. Owl's probably just set the fire alarm off somewhere along the line. But we don't know if they're evacuating the market, but this is the Albion Raw. We present through rain, snow, fire, everything. Yeah. But no one last season, we kind of went very much under the radar, and it appears we're top of the league, and still nobody's talking about us.
Yeah, I think it also has to do with the season before when you just avoided relegation. But at the start of the season, I already thought we would do really well because when Chris Hughton came, he just looked at the squad and we'll do enough to avoid relegation and start building a squad for the next season. Mm. So it wasn't really a big surprise that we finished third. I really hoped we.
Well, apart from the Sammy Hupia season where we didn't do anything right at all, apart from a point pursuit and halfway through it, the previous season before that, we're in the playoffs anyway. Yeah. Our championship.
Well, playoffs are the norm at the moment. I mean, we had the ridiculous thing of 4-4-2 quite hilariously predicting us finishing rock bottom, at the beginning of last season. But the norm for us is to, if not top half, then certainly, was it now three playoffs out of five that we've been in this particular division? We are one of the bigger clubs in the division. There's no question about it. I don't think we're under the radar anymore. We're really not. I mean, Sky are just forever having us on the telly. We're keeping pace
Newcastle. We're going to talk about Sky a little.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that after the excellent season, let's face it, 15 points ahead of the team that we had to play in the playoffs. We're 11 points ahead of that team now. And what's to say that gap isn't going to get bigger? We've improved on last season. No, we're not under the radar now.
The really frustrating thing is when you look at the Premier League this season and you see Hull City and the complete mess that they're in, and yet we didn't make it up. It's so frustrating, Lido.
Yeah, it really is. It was quite unlucky last season at the end. A few really strange decisions.
Are you talking about the Dale Stevens one?
That wasn't the red card, but I think the neighbors heard that one as well. So
they did, yeah.
It was just the player even took out the yellow card out of the hand of the referee.
And he faced no sanction for that, did he?
No.
When you say the neighbors heard you scream, do you mean Belgium?
And Germany as well.
They probably did hear us too.
Yeah. So.
Words that you don't need to hear on a family show.
Indeed, we won't repeat them.
But it is just like I said. I mean, the whole model of this season. I mean, they that was Steve Bruce. I mean, he's a fantastic manager, and I can see him taking Aston Villa back up and challenging us. And it's going to be a very difficult place for us to go last game of the season if we need something.
Well, it is. But the point is if we keep just doing what we're doing, we don't need to worry about us. I mean, we're talking last night. In amongst all the frivolities and what have you last night, if we just carry on what we're doing, we don't need to worry about Villa and Derby and all those that we're actually considering ourselves with. We played a team in fourth place last night, and there was a golfing class. Leeds offered nothing, and Norwich came when they were
a golfing class,
a golf in class.
I was like, oh, I thought you got your driver out and on your putting green there.
No, but I might get a club. Well, Norwich came down, all right, they fell apart, but we tore them apart. Newcastle, to be honest, are the only team we should worry about. And if that was all that we have to worry about, we're up, because Newcastle are not the issue. It's staying ahead of third place. Mm. That's our first goal. At the moment, we're 8 points clear. All right, the teams below us have got the game in hand. But, and also, no one's promoted and relegated in December. But it's looking good at the moment. We're in a decent spot, and I'd much rather be where we are now than, anywhere else, frankly.
And we're not playing well, but we're somehow getting over the line. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. We are brought to you in association with Old Football Shirts. Rockstars.com, and we have a shirt of the week for you, which I'm just going to pass over to my my friend Werner here.
Yeah.
Werner, can you tell me anything about this shirt? Can you describe it for me first?
It's a red and yellow striped shirt.
It looks like Melchester Rovers, Roy the Rovers.
That was my first impression.
Okay. I actually do recognize the shirt, so I will pass it to Lido.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's like I say, it's red and yellow. Oh God, it's got an eagle on it.
An eagle on it. So that's a name from the club, probably.
So does that mean we can go ahead and tell me what it's what club this is?
Go Ahead.
It's Go Ahead Eagles. It was formerly known as Go Ahead, but they once had an English coach and he said, "Well, Go Ahead doesn't sound really well. We'll make Go Ahead Eagles out of it," and it really ended up being Go Ahead Eagles.
Why not just Deventer?
I don't know. In England, you see many teams named after a city where they are based, but in Holland, it's just, well, you have all kinds of names of Greece, ancient gods, and clubs named after that.
Okay, so. Well, I shall go on and I shall go to what Uncle Phil has to say. He says, "Here you go, chaps. I look for a shirt from the area of Holland where I used to live." That's Philip, obviously. Which was Hoensbroek in Limburg. Did I pronounce that right?
How good was that pronunciation, guys?
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm great at pronunciations. Everyone knows. Christ. Yeah. They were all rubbish, so I found a different one. And I expect your guest to have a reasonable stab at guessing this one, which you did. This is a home shirt from the 2001 season of the Go Ahead Eagles from the city of Deventer. I believe you know this place, Werner, he says.
I might live there, yeah.
The team was formed in 1902 as Be Quick, but changed their name at the request of the Dutch FA to Go Ahead. The name Eagles was added in 1971 after a suggestion by head coach Barry Hughes, a Welshman who forged a playing and managerial career in Holland. The eagle features on the Deventer town crest. The Go Ahead Eagles were famously the only side to beat Ajax in any competition during the 71-72 season, winning 3-2 in a home game. So, let's have a quiz. Werner, Lido, here are your three questions.
Oh dear.
Okay. What are the Go Ahead Eagles also known as? This is their nicknames.
Oh, that's a very good one. I think it's related to maybe the Koekstad Club.
That's not what I've got here. He's got two here. The answer is either the Pride of, how do you pronounce this word?
The IJssel.
IJssel.
The
okay.
River. Yeah.
The IJssel is the big lake at north of Amsterdam, isn't it?
That's the IJsselmeer. The IJssel is a river running from the Rhine to the IJsselmeer Lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What stadium do they play at?
The Adelaarshorst.
I'm glad you said that rather than me. I'm just looking
at
them.
Try it.
My God, it's anti-Welsh. Actually, it's more vowels than anything. What's the capacity of the stadium? Any ideas?
They recently improved and renewed the stadium, so it will be around 10,000, I think. The
correct answer: 10,400. And a special question: there's only been one international match hosted at the Alsthorst. who was it against and what was the score?
I'll hand that over to Lido.
Oh yeah, thank you. I got the difficult questions. I really don't know. I didn't know that there was an international match in David, probably cricket, but no football. So I don't know.
Okay, it was, of course, he says, in 1974 when Iceland played a World Cup qualifying home game at the
Adelaarshorst. Yeah, I was about to mention that game. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the score?
Oh, no.
If Iceland play, it will be 0-3.
No, it was obviously it was against Holland. And on that occasion, Holland actually won a game of football for a change, and they beat Iceland 8-1.
Wow, really a long time ago. That won't happen nowadays.
I'm not even going to attempt to say. So can you just pronounce what Phil's closed this with? And what does it mean?
Alsjeblieft.
Which means
thanks.
There you go. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks.
So there you go. But I mean, of course, you are the
Phil's
Dutch.
Phil's a rotter, actually. I mean, like I say, you know, you struggle with English, but to give you Dutch, I mean, it's. We were actually practicing Lido's surname before we came on air, and even then, what did you call him? Brown syphilis, wasn't it?
Syphilis. Yeah. Yeah. No. Which is syphilis.
It might have been me that did that.
Shufle.
Schuffler. Sounds like a special beer.
Yeah.
Schuffler.
Yeah. I don't know anything about beer either, obviously. Right. But okay, I mean, but before we go on, we're going to talk about the Dutch Seagulls and how they became to exist shortly. But I mentioned earlier in the show that myself and Al were delighted when we found out that we had listeners in Holland. But we want to know, where do you listen? We know, obviously, there's a lot of you in the Brighton and Sussex area, but we do like to hear from anyone who listens to the show, especially those who from further afield. We know there's a big following in Australia. We know there's a few people in Connecticut, in the States. But where do you listen? We'd love to hear from you, and just get in touch at the Albion Roar or join our Facebook group.
Yep, and like I say, I certainly think there's someone out in the depths of Alaska that actually listens to us. So, you know, just drop us a line, let us know that, well, hey, you're still listening. Yeah. And as we know, there's a couple of guys in Holland. Actually, have you managed to sort of persuade anyone else to follow the Super Seagulls in De Nederland?
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah.
Oh, right,
I think
okay.
Lido and, well...
What a segue, Al.
I'm
well
good
done.
At those, yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, since now I've taken about, I think, 20 different people, and now I have a bit of a waiting list when I go to Brighton. Oh, can I come?
Okay. Well, I mean, you've started publishing your own magazine called Dutch Seagulls, is that correct?
Dutch Seagulls magazine,
yeah. So tell us all about that.
Well, I already had an idea for quite long, because when I started a Twitter account, Dutch Seagulls, then I got a lot of reply from Dutch people. And, well, the list of people following Brighton is growing. Brighton is shown on TV way more often than it was in the past. Of course, now we are playing really good football, so... And after all the positive replies I got, I had an idea to start a magazine. I already had it over a year ago, but it's a lot of work, so I underestimated it a little bit. So it took nearly a year instead of a week, which I intended to use for it. So, I made a bit of... typed it on Twitter, and I had a magazine. So in the end, we sent about 150 of the first test edition.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was way more than I expected, because I was thinking about 20 or 30 magazines.
Yeah. So what sort of content's in it?
It's about, of course, everything related to Brighton. I wrote a story about the goal that didn't got scored in the FA Cup final. Lido wrote an article about the Brighton music scene. There was a pub watch. I wrote a story about the biggest talent we ever had, Jack Harper.
A pub watch, which he didn't invite AD to write.
No, but I have enough material for the next few years, I think.
I was about to say, I mean, that's an entire magazine in its own right, isn't it?
Well, we took you to some new ones last night. You've not been to?
Yeah. Have you got a curry watch as well?
Curry watch? No.
Okay.
So Lido, I mean, tell us about, you're a big music head, aren't you? So, I mean, tell us about what you've discovered from the Brighton music scene.
What I discovered from the Brighton music scene, I try to keep it as famous as possible. So it's about Fatboy Slim, Royal Blood. Mm-hmm. So not dig too deep, because otherwise probably you will lose everyone. Because it's a football magazine at first. But we try to promote Brighton in all kinds of ways. And not only about the football, because... not everyone likes football. I don't know why, but it's a true story. So, and we try to convince those people as well to visit Brighton and go with our hobbies.
So. Yeah. You've got about. Do people subscribe to the magazine or
not yet? We made the first test version, and which I only intended for 20 people, so it grew a bit larger than I expected. So. I still have a question out at the club, so I do not have permission
yet. We were talking about this earlier. So, I mean, what's you need certain permissions from the club. So, what do you need from the club?
Yeah, I think they just have to approve that we maybe can use the club logo in the magazine, and we can call ourselves Dutch Seagulls, because I got a lot of replies after the last magazine. I even had a few people who... went to a game after reading the magazine, which was quite nice.
Because I don't see it. I mean, the club can't really have a problem with it. I mean, it's promoting the city.
Well, yeah. I mean, in terms of the logo, the badge, that is the club's own copyright, and you do have to ask permission. We can't use it on our things if we wanted to. So, you know, there is a copyright. So that bit I understand. And ridiculously enough, any picture taken inside the stadium on match day is actually copyright of the Football League, which again really doesn't help. If we go up, it'll be copyright of the Premier League. So there's little bits and pieces like that. that, but in other sort of aspects of it, in terms of you know, if you've got fans writing for it, and then it's obviously then I assume this is actually all published in Dutch. It's not an English language magazine.
No, it's totally in Dutch. Yeah, we even have an English guy writing in Dutch, which was quite funny to read.
Oh right,
it's the same level as AD trying to speak Dutch. So.
So you sure it wasn't Germany rose it in?
Probably.
I haven't tried to do a Sean Connery impression.
Sean van der Connery, yeah.
Yeah, van der Connery.
Yeah. But in terms of people writing for it, I can't see that there'll be an issue. But, you know, I think it's probably, if nothing else, just a little courtesy just to say, look, we're going to write about it. Do you realise we've now got 150 people reading about the Albion? I think it's the thing of just making sure that, you know, you don't write something that's totally outrageous. If you write something like, I don't know, the trains and then blame the club, I think that's all it really is, you know, there's nothing really to say. So I was about to say I was really looking forward to seeing a copy of this magazine, but I could have a look at it, but I wouldn't understand a goddamn word of it.
It's probably like having a conversation with me about 4 o'clock last night, I think. But
actually, yeah. Well, but no, that was double Dutch. But you know, so yeah.
It's important. It's important to know that we don't sell it commercially, so it's just a hobby magazine. But then it looks very professional because when I made it, but. We don't intend to make money out of it or anything else. We just try to convince people that Brighton is a nice team try to do something with our passion for Brighton and Hove Albion.
There's also a website as well.
Yeah, we do have a website. We keep up with the news, the World Match Report, and when there is big news about Brighton, we post it on it. So. It's getting quite a few hits. That's quite surprising.
So, what do you think that the interest of Brighton and Hove Albion is? I mean, I don't know if it's the enthusiasm with which you're telling the story, but what is it that people are switching on to in Holland about Brighton and Hove Albion?
Well, it's a bit two things. Well, the amount of English football shown on Dutch TV is really growing fast, so many Dutch people do follow an English team or like English football.
And it is better appreciated. The quality is being better appreciated, is it? Because, I mean, I know that Dutch people did hold English football in disdain for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, you have two groups of people. You have a group of people who really like to visit their teams like Arsenal and Chelsea and pay a lot of money. And you have people who more like the old kick and rush football and have one lone strike without tees up front. So,
Where do we fall in that?
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
No. No, it's nice. So it's shown on TV way more often. I remember one game being shown a few years ago, a cup game when Christian Bas scored a ridiculously poor penalty to get Brighton through.
That was against Woking, wasn't
Woking,
it?
Woking, yes. Yeah, just trundled it in. But yeah, I screamed at the telly for that. You and me were in the King and Queen that night. I just screamed at the telly. Sorry. So there's one is that the English football shown a lot more on Dutch TV. But what else do you reckon is that people are really switching on to Brighton and Hove Albion?
Well, there are way more people than I expected already following Brighton, because it used to be a big team in the past and we had a few Dutch players playing for the club. Brighton gets mentioned often by Hans Kraaij on television.
Is the nutter? How is he?
He's doing really well.
I think he should write an article for your magazine.
Doesn't
he present Pets Win Prizes or something in Holland?
Yeah, he has presented really strange shows in the past, like Domino D-Day, laughing about home videos, and he's a famous football pundit at the moment, and he's a football trainer, but best known for throwing his jacket on the ground every time when a ball goes the wrong direction or the referees are poor, and he always thinks referees are poor.
So it's nice to know nothing's changed.
No, not at all.
Presumably you knew about Hans Kraaij before you started following Brighton.
I knew Hans Kraaij, but I found out later that he played for Brighton. I didn't know at the moment when I started to follow Brighton that he played here. So,
did you know what his party piece was that everyone remembers him for here?
Yeah, pogoing in front of the goalkeeper.
Yeah, you didn't. You never saw that, though, did you? Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to say, you actually did miss a particularly classic moment in the Albion's history.
I would absolutely love to get him in here. I'd love it.
I think this studio isn't big enough. He'd destroy it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But we've also had various other Dutch players. Has played for us over the years, and you were telling me some of the names last night, and I had absolutely no idea who you were talking about because you pronounced them completely differently.
Oh, yeah. Like whom?
Regis van Lepara. How do you actually pronounce it?
Regis van Lepara. I know I pronounce his name wrong too, probably, but I just say van Lepara.
Yeah. But tell us about your love for Kemi Agustin.
Okay. I don't know the proper English words to say that. No. Yeah, I think he's a really talented player. He could have been a really good asset to the squad, but I think off the pitch and maybe, well, I don't know how to say it politely, but when I look at his career after Brighton, it went down really slow. He's now sitting at the bench of one of the lower teams in the Dutch second league. So,
Kemi Augustin was almost the reason we changed our name from Dutch Seagulls into German Seagulls. So that's.
I really hope he's not listening.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised. No, was,
but I mean, you also, I mean, you would, I mean, you go and watch Vitesse all the time as well, so you would have seen the good Elvis Manu.
Yeah, when he signed for Brighton, I thought, well, that's a really good player. He's quick and pacey, and he may be a bit too quick because he was offside all the first season he played here. But yeah, well, he scored in the under-23 squad last weekend, but it.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I don't think he will make a breakthrough at Brighton. So maybe we can loan him out.
Sonny March's return, he's actually been pushed back down the pecking order again. And I suspect that if Kaz ever gets fit and if he ever gets the opportunity, even though it seems like he wants out, it seems, not sort of, you know, casting anything upon him, but it's what he seems. And I think that Kaz would be, you know, if he got fit, he'd be back in front of Elvis in the pecking order as well. So you can't actually see where. I mean, I know that he can play up front and out wide, but and we need another striker. But
we're January coming up, though.
Well, exactly. Who knows what's going to happen?
Okay. And just before we move on, we have had some success stories with some Dutch Seagulls. Most notably, Michel Kuipers.
Yeah, Michel Kuipers. Yeah.
So, I mean, do you remember him playing in Holland?
Yeah, in Holland.
Yeah.
No, he didn't play in Holland. No.
Well, he played for a team called Blauwwit.
Yeah, he played for an amateur league.
Oh, they were an amateur side, in Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's move on to last night then, where Leeds came.
You
to...
have no idea what happened last night, do you?
I do, and I did write loads of notes as the game was going on. And where are they? They're still in my bag. So I'm doing this entirely from memory for a change, which is nice.
But Leeds, that's what worries me.
Well, you see, the thing is, you know how I like to write floral descriptions of the goals.
How many times did you write aplomb?
None actually last night.
Oh, but, come on. Anyway,
they're penalties. I mean, how could they, you can't really
Florally describe them. Glenn Murray's penalty was tucked away.
I'll have a go in a bit. But first, the team news was there was three changes. One of them enforced because of Gaetan Bong's suspension. So we had Sebastian Pocognoli coming in for him. Steve Sidwell was arrested to the bench. We're not quite sure why. I'm guessing he must have picked up a knock and he wasn't able to play. But Oliver Norwood came in for him. And Anthony Knockart also came back into the starting lineup in the place of Jiří Skalák. So what did you make of that lineup then? Because I mean we were surprised about that.
It's a perfectly good lineup. I mean Sidwell would still be my preference ahead of Norwood. But it was a perfectly good lineup. Norwood does a job.
We were having an argument last night.
We were having a difference of opinion as to the relative worth of Oliver Norwood on the pitch. You raved about him.
Oliver Norwood was my man of the match. So
yeah, well, and he wasn't mine. But
okay, so let's go to our independent Dutch adjudicators. Werner, who was your man of the match last night?
For me, it was Sam Baldock yesterday. That guy is running off his ass every game. It's incredible.
That's who Sky gave it to as well.
Yeah. I was really, a really good game. But there were many players who could have been man of the match. But he just kept running and he creates space for other players. And, he did really well for me.
But Lido, it was a breathless start to the game. Pretty much end-to-end stuff. But the sending off completely changed the tempo of the game, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a shame because I think we were playing really good. Starting really good. There were a few free kicks that got into the box. And... maybe Duffy should have scored.
Norwood's delivery from those set pieces was delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, your mate Charlie disagrees completely. He thinks he should be doing a Paul Watson and just aiming for the goal.
Well, if he's going to do that kind of thing, if he's going to take that kind of shot, then first and foremost, you make sure you get it on target just in case there isn't someone following at the back post. Why? Because as it showed twice, no one was following at the back post and they went wide. With Paul Watson, I mean, his trademark delivery was always a bit further out and. And it let through, you know, either Bobby would get a glancing header or sometimes it just goes straight through. But if you're going to do that sort of free kick, first and foremost, make sure it's on target. And then if the keeper then does flap at it, you've got a plan B, i.e. someone following up at the back post.
But, I mean, the delivery of it, someone should have been on the end of those.
My point exactly, but they weren't. But so
It was a completely different kind of delivery to the kind of ball that Jiří Skalák puts in.
But they've evidently been practicing on that. Now Skalák is one who sort of kind of more aims for the penalty spot. But yeah, it was a different one for us to see, and it was good to see. And it will come off. You know, if we're going to practice that, and other teams aren't ready for it, it will come off, and we'll get something good from it. But I mean, you know, it was kind of nearly last night. Oh, don't get me wrong, there were decent free kicks, but you know, if you're going to do that, and it, like I say, it looked like they rehearsed it, then make sure that someone, you know, is there to polish it off.
But I mean, just to go slightly off topic about the game last night, is the good news is that Beren Kayal's returned to full training this week, so he could even be in contention for Tuesday night.
Well,
so
if you're back in full training, it'll certainly be ring rusty. You know, it's been a few weeks, so yeah. No, Norwood. I mean, I think probably a lot of the team last night, you were talking about Sam Baldock earlier, Werner, there, about how much he was running around. I think that certainly off the ball, as a defensive unit, and I mean from the front, the Albion are absolutely outstanding and never gave Leeds a sniff. Leeds were shockingly poor. I mean, even when they did have the ball, they gave it away so many times, so sloppily. It's when we did have the ball that I felt we lacked a certain level of creativity. But off the ball, like I say, Baldock, you're quite right, was running around a hell of a lot. He was chasing defenders down, and we were defending from the front. Brilliant, brilliant stuff, and that's what you want to see. Okay. And I'd imagine the players are knackered this morning.
Well, I said that the game completely changed after the sending off. So let's talk about that sending off. There could be no argument about it, can there, really? I mean, it was the guy was... It was. I've seen Andy Murray make better swipes of the...
It was a clear red card indeed, yeah. I think no one can complain about it. At least even I read some comments that it was not a red card, but it was.
Well, the thing is, he didn't even need to do it. If he just flopped down with his arms behind his back, which is common these days, he would have kept the ball out, and everyone would have said it was a great goal line block.
That's just the ball at the awkward height, and you think it's always so tempting to stick your arm out. Yeah. But
so it's pretty much instinct that made
it. It was. I think it was a. I was about to say a knee jerk. It was an elbow reaction.
It was Phillips, wasn't it?
He knew he'd done it, and there was no complaints. No one's screamed at the referee. No, and we think, yeah, it's a red. Everyone knew it was a red card. And Murray stepped up to the penalty, and you just think,
well, he's not.
Was that Murray's first penalty this season?
It's the first penalty he scored for us for a very long time.
I was about to say, because his record, especially in the season we went up, it was shocking. I think he had something like. Six penalties and missed three.
Well, I remember us saying on the show a few years ago when he was at that place in Hades. Croydon, sorry.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
I didn't know you knew your Greek mythology.
Yeah, but you going on about pantheons last night, Al. I mean, that was like...
Parthenons, please. Pantheons, something completely different. A Parthenon. And he was talking about Dutch teams that are named after Greek gods as well. You know, it's all Greek to me.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, where were we? Yes, no, Murray, he stuck it away with aplomb, straight at the top of the plum tree. Well, the thing is, thankfully, Rob Green was never going to save either of those penalties. I mean, he committed himself both times. So, you know, they were handsomely tucked away. But I think it might say something about the game. Hey, we won. Let's not complain about it. But there is the point that we won against such a poor team by scoring two penalties.
I don't think that Leeds were that poor. You keep going on about how poor they actually were. Now,
they couldn't retain the ball.
Well, up until that sending off, it was they were very much in the game.
I don't know. I think there were like 10 minutes after the break.
Yeah,
and then I think Brighton didn't know what to do, and that was the only moment I thought maybe it will become 1-1.
So like a stick or twist type thing.
That's a card reference. That's a game of pontoon. So yeah. I take Ludo's point. Yes, we let them have the ball a little bit, and then you realise they've run out of puff, they run out of ideas, and we just then controlled and bossed the game. But I actually thought the game slowed down after the sending off. I don't think it changed too much. I think if anything, you know, we're liking to think, hey, let's keep our foot on the jugular. Last season when we played Leeds, 4-0 up at half time, and then we just sort of cruised the rest of the second half, and we were expecting a bit of excitement, and it was dreadful. Yeah. Not dissimilar this time. It was, you know, we could have really, well, we could have done it again, but whatever it was, we weren't. You know, they were there for the taking, and I mean for a spanking. Mm. And I mean, we didn't go for
the jugglers.
No, we didn't. We got the win, absolutely. First priority, get the 3 points. Blah blah blah. But you know, I think it's I'm just expecting a certain level of football now, whereby okay, we know we're good, we know we can take most teams apart. Now I want to be entertained. I want entertainment.
But Verna, I mentioned this earlier in the show. I mean, for a few weeks now, we've certainly not been at our best, but we're managing to get over the line. We're managing to grind out these wins, or at least get the point.
Yeah, well, when you start to win poor games, when you play not well, you are a contender for direct promotion. So, and I thought Leeds didn't look well, but I think we made Leeds look not that good yesterday, because we have a very solid defense, and well, they had some very poor passes, but we forced them to give those really poor passes. Mm. So I thought, well, we should have finished off the game way earlier, and well, it was a bit, we were holding back too much, I think, but we never had the feeling that we're going to lose it, except maybe a few minutes, and whether we would have been really unlucky if they had scored 1-1 at that moment.
Well, there was an injury in the second half to Jamie Murray, who I thought was having a great game.
Yeah, Jamie Murphy got injured too. That was yeah, no, he's the doubles champ. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yes.
I was talking about tennis earlier. I'm going,
I know, yeah.
I hope he's
does
okay.
Anyone, I don't know the extent of the injury, and hopefully it's not going to be, because he's been playing very, very well, and he had a decent first half for me. Mm. But it's nice to know that we've got already made replacements. I mean, Cuton seemed to have actually gone and bought the entire stock of wingers in, you know, on the shelf back in the summer.
Well, the one that came on for him was, of course, one of our own, which was Sonny March.
Absolutely,
which
yeah.
Which is his first home start, home appearance since.
And again, he played within himself. He looked a little bit ring rusty, but you again, if he gets the opportunity, it's like with any player. If they get the opportunity of playing two or three games in a row, then they'll play.
Well, I was saying to our good friend and Raw regular Andy Bass last night that the Sully March we're going to see, if he does get on the pitch, is going to be the one that we saw last season when we were asking the question if Sully March is the answer, we're asking the wrong question, and all of a sudden he just exploded into this amazing,
well, he just
unplayable player.
He just bulked up, buffed up, manned up, and stopped getting knocked off the ball quite so easily. It was quite sort of irritating seeing him go for a 50-50 ball, and it was only ever being 80-20. But then, and I say, we've said this so many times, he nutmegged that Cardiff fellow, got flattened, and then from there he was just flying.
Yeah, but another substitution was the forgotten man, a man he's not been getting very many minutes at the moment, but when he did come on, he certainly made a difference, and he looked brilliant, which was Tom Hemed.
Yeah, I really like Hemed. I think we got like two really good strikers who feel each other, like with Murray and Baldock, and so I think Hemed is the third wheel at the moment, and that's a shame, but then he stood up and he took the penalty.
Do you feel a little bit sorry for him? He was a 20-goal striker last year. He started, and you know, he certainly improved his game over the summer. His hold-up play is a lot better. He looks like a lot stronger than he did last year. But he's not getting any. Do you think that him and Murray are too similar?
Yeah, they are really similar. They are both scoring strikers, and we need someone to go round. Murray, and that's Baldock, and he's much better in the role that Hughton wants him to play. So
a big man, little man partnership is the way forward. But it was Tom Hemed who he came on, and he got brought down for the second.
It was actually Lewis Dunk that got pulled back, and Hemed stepped up. And it was Hemed that stepped up. And again, if any goalkeeper just wants to save a Tom Hemed penalty, just watch all the previous ones, because he never puts it more than 3 feet either side of the centre.
He just rolls it, doesn't he? But
well, yeah, and thankfully Green committed himself, and 2-0, job done. You know, satisfactory. We don't come away from there buzzing, apart from the fact that hey, we're top of the table. It's, you know, I'm going to say this again. People saying that, oh, it's Newcastle going to be out of sight by Christmas and so on and so forth. But here we are keeping pace, and we're not just keeping pace, we're actually ahead of them at the moment. Yeah, it might not be the case by this afternoon, but you know, we're if we want to look back over our shoulders, we're seeing that other teams are getting a little bit more distant, a bit smaller in the background. You know, we can only do what we can do. And not worry about everyone else.
And Reading shipping five last week as well.
That's helps. Fulham, the one-trick ponies. They only beat third-place teams 5-0. But talking of Solly March being one of our own, should we talk about another one of our own who retired this week?
It's funny. I wonder who that could be.
What a guy. Actually, I'll ask it of you, Adi. You give us your thing, your appreciation of Bobby Zamora. Good as that, eh?
Best striker that we've ever had, possibly. I would put him
ahead of Peter Ward.
I was too young to appreciate Peter Ward, so I never really got to see him. I did see him play, but I was like 7 or 8. So, and obviously at that time we didn't have wall-to-wall TV coverage, which we have now. But yeah, Bobby, he was an absolute hero, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
And you know, and what he's given to the club, not just on the pitch but off it, and a time when we were crying out for something to hang on to, when through the dark days of trying to get the new stadium and from being in the bottom tier and rebuilding the club, he came along and he lifted us to that next level.
Make no mistake, he was actually instrumental. He was the on-pitch part of helping us to get the stadium. And the reason I say that is that, yes, we're a fourth division side without a ground, without a proper stadium, you know, as Lido put it earlier, a few stands where you get wet. And if it hadn't been for that success, and hey, by 2003 we were a second division side, we're in the same division as we're in now. I mean, you couldn't credit it. No. We're in the same division, and it's the likes of him that put us on that road. It got to see that even with just 6,000 people playing, with people watching on temporary stands, that we could actually, well, as Steve Cooper put it, punch above our own weight. You saw the potential, and it was down to the likes of him, and him, well, quite a lot, not everything, but quite a lot, that actually gave us that. Without Bobby Zamora, I would suggest that actually us getting to Falmer would have been even more difficult than it has been.
We are running out of time, but for those who haven't seen it, the interview that Archer Madden Virgo
did he get his skills from to do that?
He was brilliant, actually. He was absolutely brilliant. I mean, Bobby only actually made 151 appearances for us, believe it or not.
Yeah, I can well believe that.
Scoring 83 goals, it was a brilliant return.
83 that. League goals, 90 goals in total. Yeah,
and you know, he in his interview, he did actually go on to say that how gutted he was that he couldn't play a full part towards the end of last season. And I really think we're going to close on this statement from Bobby. He said, you know, I think that it was two goals. I reckon I could have got those two goals that would have got us over the line. Yeah, and it's something that haunts me still. But I mean, that is all we've actually got time for. So I've just got to thank my guests. So, of course, to Alan Wares. Mm-hmm. To Werner Schroer.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that correct pronunciation for
that? Yeah, quite good.
Yeah, thank you. To Lido Schufler's Braun. We're going to close with Lido's title song. This is the Lido Schufler.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack. But that was all. Big fun until he got the note saying to